lie down and then you...
With this.
Initiating startup sequence.
Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Papa Hotel Lima Echo November radio check.
Papa Echo November, good afternoon, Ritu 5.
Good afternoon, Ritu 5 as well, Papa Echo November.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 1614 of Radio Free Readout. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, the Sunday evening podcast, and it is 8 p.m. in the Pacific time zone. Thank you for tuning in, and for all of you out there outside the wire in occupied territory, be encouraged. You're not alone. Thank you, guys. I hope you had a blessed week, and I hope you were able to tune in yesterday and listen to us on the American Christian Network. Don't forget, you can follow us all week long throughout the day on facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. And that will keep you updated on things going on, throughout the day, actually, more than just throughout the week. Now, I am going to be doing part 3 tonight on going underground, some other special considerations that I wanted to bring to your attention, and some resources that I wanted to point out. I'm going to be doing that in segment 3 and 4. So, segment 1, of course, we'll be looking at some current events and talking a little bit about those. And in segment 2, there is an article, excellent article that Chris Ann Hall posted. I'm going to be going over that as well. And interesting too, I was talking to her and saying, you know, with this new, I'll get to that in just a little. There's a young man over in Montana that the feds have a warrant for. They're trying to negotiate and get some of those charges dropped. And for his role standing guard duty over in Oregon. And not a threat at all. Great family, large family. They're all very concerned about this whole thing. But the argument's coming up about the supremacy clause, using the supremacy clause, because the sheriff's standing firm. And there's sheriffs across the country that are saying, I'm not going to allow the feds to operate in my county. I'll deputize everybody I have to, if that's what it takes. Well, there's some sheriffs that are falling for this supremacy clause argument. And I was talking to Chris Ann Hall about trying to get some, very well articulated guidance to be able to respond to this, to educate the patriots. I was talking to Representative Matt Shea. He's, he's also an attorney. Because sheriffs, citizens, even state legislators are not going to know how to respond to that when they get, well, there's the supremacy clause. So clearly states the federal government has supremacy. They rule and you must submit to it. That is extremely taken out of context for what the supremacy clause is. I've covered that in the past when we had the Idaho State Constitution overturned the amendment defining marriage as between a man and a woman, and a federal judge came along and ruled Idaho's constitution unconstitutional. And some of the arguments, I even saw a liberal professor from a university make the argument in the newspapers that they have the authority to do this based on the supremacy clause, which is a completely false, distorted, twisted, and perverted use of the supremacy clause. So anyway, we're going to be getting to that stuff. We'll be talking to her about that. But I wanted to share something with you guys from her in segment two. So let's just get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding, with all 10 books out, including audiobooks. World leaders are warning that their nations are being threatened by Daesh, or ISIS, with their plans to use drones to drop radioactive material on cities in a dirty bomb attack. U.S. President Barack Obama, U.K. Prime Minister David Cameron, and world leaders, including the presidents of France and China, met Friday over the issue. U.S. officials presented a scenario that the Nuclear Security Summit in Washington, D.C. earlier last week described the danger in detail. The scenario described radioactive material being taken from a medical facility by insiders and sold to terrorists via the dark web on the internet. So obviously, the government needs more access to control the internet. That must be the solution, I'm sure. In other news, HUD, the Housing and Urban Development, has created a new rule that could very potentially outlaw RV living. Now, we're talking about living in a camp trailer, right? Well, how this could affect you in the listening audience, if you are part of this large and growing trend of tiny houses, small houses, many even built on trailer frames, but they're like full on, the quality of workmanship is like a house, but they're tiny little houses, hence tiny house. The Department of Housing and Urban Development wants to change the regulations for tiny houses and recreation vehicles. And they're saying that they have opened for public comment, but only until April 11th. The tiny house movement's taken America by storm, in part because our economy is in the toilet. People are striving to reduce their expenses by embracing minimalism. They're breaking free from the corporate grind because they're learning to live with less and radically reducing their expenses. But these days in America, you are sharply admonished when you try to live your life outside the structure of the 9-to-5 world. I'm reading to you from this. Well, HUD has proposed the following law. Why in the world is HUD even? Let's just, oh my goodness, just ban it. I'd start slashing. They would not want me in charge. HUD is proposing the following law. This proposed rule would modify the current exemption for recreation vehicles in the manufactured home procedural and enforcement regulations. Why is HUD even involved in this at all? Under the current exemption, questions have risen regarding whether park model recreation vehicles are regulated by HUD's manufactured home program, and that's how they're going after it. These park models are being produced with patio roofs, screened-in porches, and other extensions that exceed the 400-square-foot maximum exemption in the current regulations. Some of these models are being marketed as suitable for year-round living. HUD's proposed rule would permit recreation vehicles manufacturers to certify that a unit is exempted from HUD's regulations. What this could do is essentially ban the year-round living in a tiny house because it's manufactured. It's an RV. So they got to stick their fingers in everything. Here's an interesting, some Patriot bees in Texas were let go. ABC News covers this. At least 20 stung by a swarm of bees at an Arizona mosque. A huge swarm of bees surrounded people at the Muslim Community Mosque in Phoenix, Arizona, in a terrifying moment caught on video. I want to see the video. I haven't seen the video. At least 20 people were stung Friday, Phoenix Fire Department's spokeswoman Ardell DeLees told ABC News. One person, a 24-year-old man, was transported to the hospital in stable condition. Firefighters rushed to the scene and sprayed the area with a foam that calms the insects. The Muslim community mosque did not immediately respond to a request for comment. So these, as it turns out, we'll probably discover these are actually not bees at all. They are micro drones controlled by Trump's election campaign. The demand for those, you won't be able to find those on eBay yet. They're looking for a way to mass produce them beyond, single use applications. So stand by. We'll have mosque drones that look like bees available to the public soon. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break and let Fox 519 brief us up on the economy. But first, I wanted to make a quick announcement. Some of you have noticed that you get an error, SSL certificate error, or a warning when you go to Radio Free Redoubt Amron.com, and then, of course, the Amron Core website. There's a reason for that. The current server for that, because we moved Radio Free Redoubt over, but Amron has not moved over yet. So the SSL certificate expired, and the host that we're with on those requires a one-year contract on the SSL certificate. And since we are moving to a new server based in the American Redoubt, that's going to happen so soon, we decided to let that expire and switch over to TTP instead of HTTPS. And we will have a new SSL certificate that will accompany that account with that new server, which we're switching over to. So it was a matter of, do you want to spend $250 and pay for the SSL certificate? So that expired this week, and then people started getting these warnings. Oh, this SSL certificate's been it's expired on this website. Do you want to proceed? Well, you're not putting any personal information in there, credit card information or anything like that. So there's no PERSEC being violated. So we thought, we'll just leave it and then we'll switch over and we'll have the SSL certificate in place soon, as soon as we get switched over here in the next week or two. So that explains that. Hopefully, you guys, you can rest a little easy. We're aware of it and we discussed it and we're good to go. So we'll be switched over soon. Fox 519, the eye on the economy. And then we'll be right back with segment two. Don't go away.
As part of being your watchman on the wall, there are many things that I have to keep an eye on. Inflation, deflation, major disruptive economic events, and now stagflation is starting to rear its ugly head. And as many of you know, stagnant things cause disease and disaster. Hello everyone, this is Fox 519 here, bringing you the news and commentary that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello everyone, Fox 519 here. Over the past 8 weeks, you've heard our commercial for SistersCoffeeRoasters.com, and I wanted to take a few minutes to talk to you about the quality of their product. When you think about the collapse, our minds normally drift toward things like the three Bs, beans, bullets, and band-aids. But I want you to add another letter, C, for coffee. Basic things like coffee are mood boosters, and those are very, very important in a collapse situation. Nothing is worse than being in a stressful environment and not having anything to look forward to each morning as you wake up. You should store coffee. Yes, you can store the low-quality stuff in the number 10 cans, but I would encourage you to go with a quality product, and that product is coffee from SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Their roasted or unroasted beans are some of the best you can get. And you should make sure as you think about your future, do you want to wake up to low-quality, stale-tasting coffee, or do you want to wake up to a vibrant-tasting coffee that will help you slip your boots on in the morning and be ready to rebuild the Redoubt? Get yours today. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Two sisters and an amazing quality coffee. Well, welcome back. Today I'm feeling a bit sentimental. Today marks almost 3 years that I have been doing Eye on the Economy, and I just want to say how thankful I am to John Jacob and the team at Radio Free Redoubt for allowing me to get to speak to you each and every week. It is because of all of you that each week we continue this journey together. A hearty thank you. Now, on to the news. Now, folks, I'm going to speak in a metaphor for a moment as I lead into our next story. The economy is like a giant pond. Many of God's creations feed off of it, make their home in it, and people use it to drink from, water their crops from, and they use the water to power other devices. Sometimes not-so-smart people come along and dump bad things into it. It kills off the wildlife that uses it as their home, but God usually finds a way to fix and repair it. The water has to flow through the pond. And that's how things get repaired. But if the water ever stops flowing, it dies. It gets stagnant, and there's nothing you can do to fix it. It stinks, it becomes putrid, and all things that drink from it die. That's the nature of our economy. Money has to flow through it in some capacity, or things get really bad. Like starting what's happening right now. Here is what I know. In the past few months, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics has done its best to completely lie to the public and has gone out of its way to show that the U.S. worker compensation is finally rising. This couldn't be any further from the truth because on an hourly wage, it may be increasing by pennies, but on a weekly basis, the picture is vastly different. What is happening is that the weekly wage growth has gone nowhere in years, and that is because of the average hours worked per week has declined as of 4/2/2016, and it hit a two-year low of 34.4, and it translates to more money per hour worked, but less hours worked overall. Okay, let's give them a bit of grace in how these officials are proving their theory. So let's assume that wages, or at least the perception thereof, is indeed rising. Is it helping the average American? Well, after the, quote, after-expense income of average Americans is measured in real dollars, it has declined $17,000 in 2004 to $6,000 in 2014. Because if wages have declined dramatically, real expenses such as food and clothing have surged. In fact, according to the recent Pew study survey, in 2014, a median income has fallen 13% from the 2004 levels, while expenditures have increased nearly 14%, such as 2.5% or even 3.5%, whereas every single year, wages don't manage to offset those increases in costs. And yet, even analysts who are among who look at the most rudimentary data are now warning that a new problem is emerging for the U.S. economy. Stagflation. Now, major banks like Deutsche Bank are all giving ominous warnings. Here's a quote given to its investors earlier just this week. And I quote, "Worry not about the 8% drop in forecast earnings in the upcoming quarter reporting season. The aggregate feature is well telegraphed. Instead, pay attention to those companies with wafer-thin margins. Ever since the crisis, S&P stocks in the lowest quartile of the EBITDA, or earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, margins, have outperformed the market. Until that, last year, the least profitable companies trailed by 11%. Fellow patriots, stagflation is just as dangerous as inflation or deflation. In fact, stagflation is one of the historical precursors to a major economic event. When the poor cannot spend their wages that's not equating out to what is an inflation, excuse me, I can't even get that out because it's so frustrating, then you have a major problem on the way as companies and corporations look for new profits and will do everything they can to cut their bottom line to improve their cash flow, which usually means cutting jobs. It's a vicious cycle, everyone. Well, keep an eye on the economy. Thanks again for listening. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
This is Radio Free Readout, segment 2. My email is johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. I try to respond to every email that I get. Every now and then a couple slip through the cracks, but I do my level best. If you're listening on the go or something that somebody handed you, a CD with this episode on it, well, our website is radiofreereadout.com. That's with a silent B, R-E-D-O-U-B-T, readout.com. And as most of you know, a readout is a fallback position, a defensible position, a safe haven, a refuge, right? This segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. For those of you who are strategically relocating to the American Redoubt, and specifically if you are looking at the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho, they will help you get relocated. Great folks. Patriot-owned business. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Now, a couple of announcements for some events. I just want to remind you guys, I want to keep reminding you until we get up to these events. Chris Ann Hall will be speaking April 21st and 22nd over in Prosser, Washington. two nights. That's a Thursday night and a Friday night, talking about state sovereignty and the duty of state and local representatives. She is traveling and traversing all across the continental United States, educating patriots and encouraging patriots and educating citizens. Also, mark your calendars if you haven't done so already. May 7th is the Northwest Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Washington. Also, I will be speaking. Pastor Sharam Hadian will be speaking. Representative Matt Shea. There's going to be some others too. I'm not sure who all's going to be there, but Amron will have a booth, and we're going to have a lot of Amron core operators there to help folks and answer questions about communications, disaster, and civil defense communications for the Patriot. Cascadia Rising is coming up. That is a major disaster preparedness exercise that the government is doing, but that weekend, June 10th through the 12th, mark your calendars, take the time off to practice your grid-down emergency preparedness plan at home and all across the country. That's going to be taking place. Very heavy communications-centric exercise based on at least one massive earthquake type of scenario. So we're looking forward to that. The Liberty Tree Expo in Yakima, Washington is going to be June 17th, 18th, and 19th. Chris Ann Hall, Jordan Page, several Patriot speakers will be there. Cope Reynolds will be there. Lots of great vendors, good stuff going on there. And we'll be there as well. God and Country, of course, is going to be the weekend before the 4th of July this year. That's June 26th and 27th in Northeast Washington. So lots of stuff coming up. It's pretty exciting. Now, in case you guys didn't hear, this gal, Shauna Cox, she was in the truck that Lavoie Finicum was driving when they were stopped and they were shot up, and Lavoie Finicum was shot to death. Now, she was let out, and she's been speaking about her experiences, and this judge doesn't like it. Senior District Judge Robert E. Jones. And this is from an article by Chris Ann Hall. She does a really good job of this. Of course, she's a constitutional attorney, former prosecuting assistant prosecuting attorney in Florida. Now she is a full-time speaker, author, and educator on the Constitution. So she writes, Judge Robert E. Gag Order Jones declared himself king over the First and Sixth Amendments. She even puts out his phone number, and I guess this judge is just hot. He's so ticked because his phone's been ringing off the hook with very outraged citizens. Once again, a federal court judge believes that he can arbitrarily give and take away the rights of the people. This is so repugnant to liberty that we should not sit quiet. Defendant Shauna Cox was admonished, quote, admonished by this judicial tyrant to be silent on not only the charges against her, but all issues surrounding her protests against the federal government. When a federal judge in a federal court presiding over federal criminal charges can tell an American to be silent, how can we possibly have fair trials? We must remind Senior District Judge Robert E. Gag Order Jones about the First and the Sixth Amendments. Do we now live in an America where an agent of the federal government can declare an American's rights to freedom of speech, press, and protest are revoked? And I would add, prior to being convicted of a crime in a court of law. Benjamin Franklin, well, she's got him quoted in a couple places, but this sacred privilege is so essential to free governments, you know, free speech, that the security of property and the freedom of speech always go together. And in those wretched countries where a man cannot call his tongue his own, he can scarce call anything else his own. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech, a thing terrible to public traitors. Very interesting, powerful statement by Benjamin Franklin. And there you have it. Senior District Judge Robert E. Gag Order Jones has classified himself as a public traitor. the First Amendment is not only not the only right infringed by this judicial supremacist. About, well, what about the Sixth Amendment? In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. Public trial? How do you have a public trial when the government's agent is imposing gag orders at the threat of force? We should seriously contemplate why our framers would insist on a public trial. Consider the following. In the federal system, laws are written by the federal government. Laws are enforced by the federal government. Laws are prosecuted by the federal prosecutors. If you cannot afford an attorney, your liberties will be defended by a federal defense attorney. Once you get to court, your case will be decided by a federal judge, not a jury, which is guaranteed to you by the Constitution, by the way. So she asks, how can anyone have any hope of a fair trial when the federal government writes the laws, enforces the laws, prosecutes and defends, and finally sits in judgment of you in regard to its own laws? That is why we must have a speedy and public trial with a jury of our peers. Without a public trial, the government controls all the facts, dictates the narrative, and the only information received by the public is that which the government approves. That is a court of kings, not one of the people of a constitutional republic. This is something that I know several legislators are working on to pass, and even at the federal level, but they're really focusing on the state level, to start working on the wording for legislation that, well, a couple of things. First of all, if you're charged with federal crimes, you cannot be taken out of the state until you've been proven guilty. You belong in that state. You cannot be taken outside of the borders. And that follows the same spirit of, you know, the king arresting people in the colonies and whisking them off over to England to be tried. So what they're doing is they're taking somebody who apparently, supposedly committed some federal crime and they're yanking them out of their state. And the second thing is that if you are charged with a federal crime, you must have the right to be able to exercise that right of a trial by jury, a public trial by jury. So they're working on that. We definitely have some challenges as they, you know, continuously erode the once great republic. I know these things just kind of buy us time right now. It's going pretty fast. But these are worthwhile efforts to get behind and support and get behind those legislators that are pushing for these types of laws. Because on the other side of the storm, you're going to know who the people are worthy of following and getting behind and supporting if we ever have the chance of resetting and rebuilding America anew. We'll be back with segment 3 in just a minute with the underground and safe houses part 3. Don't go away. How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive, self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. State sovereignty is back in the news, and many people agree that we need to recover the lost art of freedom. But how do we do that? Many ideas have been thrown out there, but one of the best that I heard over the summer is what I and 15 other state legislators from other states throughout the West call the 5 steps to freedom. I'd like to share those with you today. First, state legislators must nullify unconstitutional legislation. For instance, nationalized health care or cap and trade are not specific enumerated powers of the federal government and Congress. Therefore, state legislators can nullify such laws. The idea comes from Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, who first introduced it because they believed it was a natural right of the states in the checks and balances process. Step 2. We need to erect an impenetrable wall around the Second Amendment. That takes several forms. First, an extension of the castle doctrine. Wherever I stand, that's my castle. Number 2, oath-keeping. Sheriffs need to uphold their oaths to the Constitution of the United States and the several states. And number 3, a sheriff-first piece of legislation which allows sheriffs the process by which they can arrest and detain federal agents acting beyond their scope of authority. Number 3, we need to restore sound money. And what does that mean? We need to return to a gold and silver standard. Number 4, we need to secure our borders by making the state verify citizenship before issuing a driver's license, a business license, or any other formal source of state recognition. And number 5, wherever any of this legislation fails, the people need to introduce that by way of initiative. State sovereignty is the path back to freedom. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Segment 3, brought to you by Katie Armor, as in come and take it. Katie Armor with the full body armor, front and back plates, side plates, and this stuff. If you guys haven't seen that YouTube video, it stopped everything all the way up to like 300 Win Mag, or except for 300 Winchester Magnum. Rifle, combat rifle rounds. I was impressed. And of course, now that comes standard with the anti-frag coating. Great stuff and free shipping. And they also provide a coupon code right now. If you use John Jacob, you get a discount on that. And their production time's like less than a week. So you can have your, they also carry, you know, the plate carriers and everything you need. Go for it. Those guys are really good, good folks. Now let's talk about the underground and safe houses. Part 3. In this series, this will be a 3-part series, and we will come back to this. And if you remember last summer, I talked about The Coming Underground. It was a series that I did titled The Coming Underground. You know, is it even possible that that would even be necessary to talk about? Looking at historical examples and looking at the trends that we are seeing now and projecting where that could take us into the future, it would basically put us right on par with a lot of other people across the country that are resisting in a number of different ways, actively and passively, and many of them are forced to operate underground, economies, underground churches, underground societies, underground markets. So what we're talking about here, in the first 2 parts of this Going Underground series, this is the scenario that was presented, and this is what I'm answering. It was a listener question that said, what happens if, let's say, the Chinese invade and they take over part of the United States, or they respond to a major disaster that they're here to help with humanitarian aid. In the process, they set up an interim government, and in the name of, you know, fighting extremism, they deem any non-state-approved churches to be illegal. They suspect your home church leader or home group leader of operating an underground church, and now he has a warrant out for his arrest. He decides to go underground. Considering all modern technology being up and operational, how would you go about hiding somebody underground, especially now with the technology they have, the cell phones and computers and internet and all of these resources at their fingertips in this pervasive surveillance society that we live in around the world? To think that the Chinese wouldn't use that would be naive. So The first two segments, I talked about the actual process of putting somebody underground and measures that you would have to take, both for the principal, and that's the person being sought after by the Chinese intelligence services or security forces, and also the safe house hosts or operators and anybody handling the principal. In other words, transporting him, escorting him, those types of things. Well, what we're going to talk about in segment three, or part three of going underground, is what you leave behind. And what you leave behind will be exploited. What would a principal leave behind that could be useful to them? They really want him, right? Well, a principal being sought after by security forces, obviously he's going to have contacts. He's going to have material that could be used to prosecute him. It could implicate others that could widen the net of those being arrested and taken into custody and charged, executed, or prosecuted. So what I want to do is share something with you. And this is from a search warrant. Now, this is United States, and we're talking FBI here. After Lavoie Finicum was shot and killed on the 26th of January, the following morning at about 10 minutes to 4 a.m., a judge signed a warrant. They sealed the truck, they tarped it, and they didn't proceed any further until they got a warrant. And what are they looking for in this warrant? There's some things here that I want to share with you that you may not have thought that somebody else would want and find useful. Or at least you know this intellectually, but you haven't thought about it consciously. So I want to read to you from the search warrant what has specifically been placed on the search warrant. And then you need to do a personal inventory. You think the Chinese wouldn't have this kind of wish list as well, if they were hunting for your home church pastor? And the danger that it could place in all of the people that he's associated with or affiliated with. So this is what it reads. And this is going to seem tedious, but I want you to stay with me. It's two paragraphs. Cellular phones, tablets, SD cards, SIM cards, any and all SIM cards, you know, from your cell phones, SD and or micro SD cards, all stored data, including passwords, encryption keys, text messages, cell sites, access codes, SIM passwords, files, programs, applications, ringtones, pictures, videos, phone books, date books, call history, voicemail, email, text messages, and geographical information. You know, your satellite tracking, wherever, every place you've been, is right there in your phone. Proof of ownership to include correspondence, registration keys, or similar items. All connection logs and records of users' activity for each such phone, including connection date and times, disconnect dates and times, method of connection, such as Telnet, FTP, or HTTP, data transfer volume, username associated with connections, telephone caller identification records, and any other connection information such as internet protocol address of the source of the connection found on cellular devices. Now, it gets better. Paragraph 2. Any and all computers, devices, or storage media which can be utilized for the storage of electronic or digital information. This includes, but is not limited to, servers, desktop computers, notebook computers, netbooks, tablets, smartphones, cellular telephones, iPods, MP3 players, and gaming systems. Floppy disks, hard disks, tapes, CDs, DVDs, thumb drives, flash memory devices, optical disks, printer or memory buffers, smart cards, PC cards, memory calculators, electronic dialers, electronic notebooks, personal digital assistants, PDAs, gaming systems, and any other such devices designed to contain or be a repository of data. any equipment used in conjunction with the computer's device or storage media, which may contain digital or electronic evidence, or remnants of digital or electronic evidence of the crimes listed below. And the crime was attempted murder. This is what was listed on the search warrant. Think of everything in your house that could fall under those categories. The authorities wanted to come in your, let's say your husband is a home group leader, Bible study leader, and he's wanted. He goes underground. That was covered in part one, part two. Now they're going to kick your door in and they are going to take everything. Now, if your spouse operates a home business or banking or your whole DVD collection, everything, they are coming to take everything. Everything. Every SD card, your cell phone, anything and everything on the premises when they come to search will be gone. You will be effectively shut down. Everything in your life that you're used to doing on a day-to-day basis will come to a screeching halt. Your business that you operate, your emails, your correspondence, all of your contacts, everything that you do to operate your normal day-to-day life activities will stop. Remember what I said? Remember, memorize at least five phone numbers. Five phone numbers of people that you absolutely would want to get a hold of in an emergency, serious situation. How many of you know five numbers memorized that you could call? Most of us don't. I'll give you Mrs. Schmidt's number right now. You just press and hold number two. That's her cell phone number. Well, that's the case for most of us, right? How many of us don't even know our own phone number? Well, that's not uncommon. But even your spouse's number or your best friend or your workplace, most of the time it's just already pre-programmed in, right? So a couple of things. First of all, for security reasons, you need to have as much secured, encrypted as possible. Secondly, you need to have everything backed up. Go buy one of those 1.5 terabyte external hard drives. Back up your critical data or back up the entire thing and store that off site. As somebody outside your inner circle, your tier one relational human terrain map, it should be someplace stored and also possibly where nobody knows where it is. So somebody else couldn't give away the position, or a very extremely trusted person, but you know, if they're squeezed, they could possibly give up that information as well. So an external hard drive, protected, secured, somewhere off-site, somewhere inaccessible. That way, even like, remember when I mentioned the pawn shop, little Windows 7 laptop from the pawn shop, keep that stashed somewhere in a EMP-proof, you know, metal box somewhere off-site, with your external hard drive, thumb drives, and things like that, so that even if they do get their hands on everything there at your home or your office, they have grabbed a bunch of encrypted thumb drives with hidden volumes and partitions. They've got layers of stuff that's going to take them months to go through, and much of it they won't even be able to break into. But see, you're still shut down. You're still out of business. Let's say you have a wedding planning consulting business, and all your clients' information, everything. They come in, they kick your door in, and they take everything. You're shut down, right? Well, if you have everything backed up, offsite, encrypted, you could still get back up and running and operational, you know, within a day or so. Even if you went to a friend's house and used their computer with your external hard drive and bring everything back online so you can continue to function. Got online banking, you've got business contacts, you've got correspondence, and then you still have all your contacts. You can get a hold of people that need to be gotten a hold of. So think ahead. If they came with a search warrant listed like what I just listed here, what would that leave you with? It would leave you with the inability to function. Well, even if you wrote everything down, they're going to take that too. Anything that looks like an address book, gone. Well, that's not my husband's, that's mine. Doesn't matter. There's stuff in here that pertains to him. And a lot of it is just out of vindictiveness because they can't find the principal And they're really torqued about this, that he would even think of defying. They're going to teach you a lesson. What happens? We're going to ruin your life. We're going to make you miserable because, well, you must be part of this anyway. And even if you're not, we're going to let him know that we made his family miserable because he's hiding from us. This is what's going to happen. Now, I've covered several things relating to security and encryption, Tails and Tor and tradecraft surrounding this. But there's another resource I want to point you to. Now, I'll call him K, as in Kilo. I won't give out his real name. Now, I've never met him, but I know of him. He knows of me. We know each other. We all kind of run in the same circles and kind of overlap with our relationships. But he goes by K, and he teaches, he runs Combat Studies Group, previous Special Forces and DOD contractor. He's a lot more savvy on the computer forensics, SIGINT and ELINT, electronics intelligence type of countermeasures than I am. There's some classes coming up. You can go to a Combat Studies Group, but he's got some courses coming up real soon. And he's got a specific course that I strongly recommend that you take advantage of. It's called Ground Rod. Okay, it's called the Ground Rod Primer. This covers InfoSec, ComSec, PerSec, tradecraft skills, and these go on a deeper level than what I've covered with you guys in the past, because that's what he specializes in. It's designed to incorporate a high level of student interaction. You'll learn by doing web browsing, phone calls, emails, chat, contact lists, location, private storage of data. Options to counter the threat, devices, hardware, and software. He custom makes these tablets that are awesome. Okay, it's right up there with, you know, BlackBerry, silent phone, silent text, that level of stuff. The human terrain, practicing practical tradecraft, implementation techniques, personal computer options, how to set those up, things to look for, things how to set those up securely. And I won't get into a whole lot more of that here. But if you get a chance, there's a couple courses coming up this weekend in Spokane, Washington. 2-day course is $300 and worth every penny of it, in my opinion. Now, like I said, I haven't attended one of his courses, but the reputation of not somebody talking about how great they are, what are other people saying about him? And if this sounds like something right down your alley, that I want you to look up codename K. I want you to go to combatstudiesgroup.blogspot.com. Now, that's in Spokane, Washington. I don't live in Spokane, Washington. Darn it. Well, there's one coming up in April 23rd and 24th. April 23rd and 24th in Pennsylvania. That's Wilkes Bar. I believe that's how it's pronounced. Wilkes Bar. You guys from that area, you'll know what it is. And if I'm doing it, you know, like some people call Spokane, they call it Spokane. Instantly, no, you ain't from around here, right? So if I'm butchering Wilkes Bar, B-A-R-R-E, then, well, I'm not from around there. Anyway, Combat Studies Group is going to be putting on a class in April 23rd and 24th to be talking about tradecraft, security, counter-surveillance, encryption, real heavy-duty stuff. So if you get a chance, it will be worth your time. All right. He also knows he knows Sam Culper as well. Actually, we were both popped in on Sam Culper's class this weekend, but we missed each other. Kay and I missed each other. So additional resources, guys. There's more stuff out there. I'm going to keep piping it to you. All right. Let's take a break. Come back in segment four, and let's talk about the other part of things you leave behind could be exploited. In just a minute, this is Radio Free Readout.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Readout, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want a secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. The Voice of the American Redoubt, Segment 4. And Segment 4 is brought to you by Works Holsters. Works.com, that's W-E-R-K-Z, a strategically relocated into the Redoubt business that makes Kydex holsters and magazine carriers custom built with less than 2 weeks turnaround, and they have a lifetime guarantee on all their stuff. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR for your discount at works.com. Now, continuing on in segment four with underground and safe houses. This is the last part of part three in this three-part series, Going Underground. And in part three, we're talking about the things you leave behind. They can be exploited. So leave as little behind as possible. If it doesn't have to be there and left out, don't leave it there. What is there? If anything, look around, anything that I described. What kind of hardship would that place you if that fell into the wrong hands? And does it have to be there? Do you need all six thumb drives laying on your counter right now? And the other two that you forgot to hook up, download VeraCrypt onto and set up partitioned drives, encrypted drives to keep sensitive data like contacts, names, lists, addresses, phone numbers, members of adjacent underground churches and contacts and other pastors that are leading, and you don't have that encrypted? Are you serious? Now, could they break into it? It's possible, yes. But when you have it encrypted, you just bought everyone else time because the other home group pastors in your county, let's say there's three or four of them, the word's going to spread really quick that you almost got arrested. You just about got rolled up. You went underground. You disappeared. Everybody in that network and you're affiliated and associated with knows or should know, they will know after they listen to this, that they are going to go through everything with magnifying glasses and fine-tooth combs to, A, find out where that principal is, where he's hiding, who he's affiliated with, who could be hiding him or helping him, and then who else is in the network to continue building that human terrain model to find out who else could also be criminally holding underground churches, and they're going to be next. There's going to be a wide net that's going to go out and snatch up a whole lot of people, depending on your level of security. By you having your stuff encrypted, it bought everyone else time to quickly sanitize and lay low, get under the radar, or go underground also themselves. And all it takes is one weak link to fail to do this and place all kinds of people in jeopardy. Encryption is really important. Here's something else you're leaving behind, potentially, because this is happening all over the world. Your wife and kids. You need to make an assessment of them based on their aptitude, their maturity, etc. But first, prepare them for interrogation. First of all, the fact that it's going to happen. The Chinese intelligence and the security services will be questioning them. Now, of course, the best method for countering this is compartmentalization. Have you heard that term before? Don't tell your tier one people in your human terrain map, in your inner circle, where you'll be, who you'll be with, and who's taking you away, etc. If you're a high-risk person, you should brief your closest tier one people, your wife, your parents, your brother, your sister, your best friend, of several things. Number one, because of security reasons, you either work out a covert communications instruction with them now, so they know how they're going to be able to correspond with you, or tell them that if you ever have to go underground, detailed instructions will be given to them sometime afterward on how to correspond with you. That's the best course of action. That way they have nothing on them they could give up. So, number two, develop an all okay, everything's okay message system so they don't, when they come home and you're not there and you don't come home that night and you're not there by the next morning, they need to know you haven't been disappeared or detained or arrested, taken against your will, etc. Some type of sign, symbol, word, visual signal, something you leave at the house, you turn the toaster upside down on the counter, some little thing that say your wife knows what to look for to know he left on his own free will. He's safe. And then she knows that as soon as possible, as soon as it's safe and practical, that you'll be contacted. You'll all start having correspondence. But she understands the deal because she already understands the risk because you're an underground Bible study leader and everybody knows it could come to this one day, and here you are. So let her know you haven't been snatched up off the streets by the secret police. Do something there, something you agree amongst yourselves, a little symbol that she knows to look for, that you let her know that you had to take off and go underground. Now, there's nothing after that point for the family members to do other than be patient, pray for your protection, and carry on with life as normally as possible. Now, special note here, the spouse will likely be under observation. You should act as though you are, I'm talking to the spouse, you should act as though you are just as surprised and uninformed as everyone else. Even if the wife, parents, etc. are fully confident the principal had to go underground and know what's really going on, well, she should call around to the principal's friends, co-workers, and extended family, asking if they've seen the principal. She should contact the police to file a missing person report. This is not lying. The principal really is missing, and it should be true that she does not know where the principal, her husband, is, or where he was last, or who he was with last. She should appear cooperative and helpful with the Chinese security forces in their efforts to locate the principal. In fact, she was certain that they would have answers because she thought they had something to do with him disappearing. So if they don't know what happened to him, well, then you demand answers from them. After all, he could have been kidnapped. He could have been injured. He could be injured somewhere or something. They should help her find him after all, right? Number three, if the principal is a man with a wife and children at home, you should hopefully have a strong support network to continue helping them with finances, chores, home and vehicle maintenance, and especially emotional and psychological comfort. And that kind of support to a wife should come from another woman, not a man, for all kinds of hopefully obvious reasons. But a support network all around the world right now. There are pastors who are underground or they are imprisoned, and there are support networks where they are helping those pastors' wives with finances and supporting teaching the kids and doing chores around the home and things like this. So hopefully you have this network should be in place to help the dependents of those who had to go underground. It's going to be very stressful. They're going to need lots of support. Now, number four, the spouse should be prepared to be accused of having knowledge of the principal's whereabouts and his activities. And she will likely be accused of being a co-conspirator or harboring aiding and abetting, and interfering with official investigations, etc. She should be prepared to have the custody of her children threatened. This is a classic tool, so expect it. This is another reason why you need a strong support network, counselors, and members of the community, hopefully also, who can intervene on your behalf, intercede, argue on your behalf. If lawyers are allowed to be involved, then by all means, get an aggressive one who can properly argue on your behalf, especially when they're using coercion and threats. We're going to take your children. You're never going to see them again. They're going to become wards of the state. That kind of stuff has extremely heavy emotional impact and an effect on a mom. Okay, and they know this. This is a classic manipulation tool. And we're talking about, you know, communist Chinese government. They very well could and may take the children. Children are obviously easily manipulated, tricked, scared, or otherwise coerced into giving up information to exploiters. Try to never allow a child to be interrogated or questioned alone without an adult ally, preferably one of the parents, present. And this is another reason for compartmentalization. The child really doesn't know some of these secrets. In either case, you truly don't want them to know something they could give up, regardless of the pressure that they're put under, because they truly do not know the information. Couriers should be used to deliver correspondence or instructions for accessing correspondence between the principal and key persons, especially persons who will likely be under continuous observation by security services, like the wife, the spouse. And the identity of the couriers should not be known by the spouse. In some cases, a courier may not even know the identity of the spouse. As much as compartmentalization and insulation you can put into place, the better. So you have a courier that knows to drop something off and put a thumb drive underneath a garbage can in the park at a certain time and walks away. He doesn't know who's going to come and pick it up. He doesn't want to know. He doesn't care. He just knows he's supporting the underground somehow, and that's his job. And he wants to be anywhere else after doing that. He wants away. Don't want to know. Same thing with the wife, the spouse. She would have a trusted friend go and pick up the thumb drive from the location and, you know, retrieve it and get the correspondence to her that way. Encrypted, of course. And this brings us to the next point. The principal and the spouse, or parents, or other tier one inner circle family and friends people, should have an authentication system developed between themselves so that you know for certain the correspondence that you receive is not done by an imposter. It is actually from the principal or trusted members of the underground, something that only a trusted person or the principal would know, because it's another common tactic for intelligence services to try to infiltrate or intercept correspondence, impose their own correspondence in hope of exposing, more of the underground communications network. So they will send information, correspondence, posing as someone else. So you should have an authentication system. So you know, I know this came from my husband because we already worked this out. Nobody would know this, okay? And finally, in the worst case scenario, have a safe place for the wife and kids or parents or others, tier one people, to go. There is a book that I read a while back that I strongly recommend. It's on my recommended reading list. It's called American in the Gulag. It is about a young man who was working in the embassy in the Soviet Union in Moscow, and he got snatched up off the street by the NKVD. The, you know, predecessor to the KGB. Now, in prison, this is an amazing book. He tells so many stories. There's so much to glean from that experience. But he met a Soviet pilot who was in prison, and this was his story. He had a dream that Stalin had died. He was so grieved by this, he told his wife at breakfast. Later on at work, in the pilot's lounge, he told his dream to other pilots. He was later on arrested by security forces. Why? Because he was plotting an assassination of Stalin, and he was This is their accusation of him. This is not true, but this is how communists work. This is obviously a plot to assassinate Stalin, and you telling everybody else about this supposed dream about Stalin dying was your way of recruiting by judging people's responses to the news or the thought of Stalin dying. So you're looking for somebody who would be sympathetic to something like that, and you're obviously trying to recruit people for this. Now, what happened later on, they arrested his wife. Why? Because he told her of this plot, and she didn't report it. So she went to the gulag too. Many people did not ever return alive. They were abused and mistreated and worked to death and froze to death, disease and everything else. So the point is, once in you're living in Soviet Union, the spouse gets rolled up. The husband gets rolled up. The wife might want to disappear for a while on her own. You should have a safe place to go. This should be a friend, family member, a distant relative, or someone else in the underground who can safely harbor the dependent, the wife and kid, or can hide at-risk personnel who are in the inner circle of the principal. They themselves, the wife or other pastors that you're associated with in your underground church network, could also become principals. Now, if it's the case of the wife, she may have to be moved indefinitely into the underground. Of course, that could mean the principal could be reunited with his family if the security situation permitted it. Or they may not see each other or hear from each other for weeks or months at a time. But they're safe, and that's the point. So as long as you can prepare yourself for this psychologically, mentally, even though it would be difficult, you're prepared for it. Everybody's on board. We know this is the deal. This is, you know, could happen one day, and here we are. The downside to that is a host now has an entire family to feed as opposed to just one person. And this could be really problematic and even impossible in some situations, such as if you have government-enforced food rationing or intensified house-to-house searches for contraband and hidden people, etc. So there's lots to consider, but you'd have to make these kind of plans. A principal whose family is under duress or in danger is worthless to the resistance and a security risk to the underground. They'll do dangerously irrational things that places many people at risk. So it's equally important. If someone's important enough to hide in the underground, you have to also consider their family and make plans. You may never have to implement, but have the plans in place nevertheless. Now, on selecting a safe house for the dependents, ensure there is a wide relational gap. Here's one method. How do you do that? Go pick up your cell phone right now and look at the last 10 people you've called and the last 10 people you've texted. Those are no-go zones as far as contacts and locations go. Because the Chinese intelligence services are going to take your phone that they seized and they're going to look at your last 20 contacts and the last 20 people you texted. And those people are going to get a visit. Any place you've visited, especially with your cell phone on you in the past 60 or 90 days, is a no-go zone for the principal and his dependents and anyone in your innermost circle. Now, before we close, there's some books that I wanted to share with you. If you do become detained, and even if you aren't detained but you're living underground, there's some very powerful psychological effects that you're going to have to overcome. And I want to share some stories of those who've gone before you. One is the story that I just mentioned, Alexander Dolgin's story, An American in the Gulag. This is an American who got disappeared off the street. They denied having him when the U.S. Embassy was requesting, "We're missing a person. Do you know where this person is?" "No, oh, haven't heard of him." They interrogated him. They tried to get him to – they exploited him through numbers of – a number of different methods. Attempted concessions, admissions of guilt. They were bringing criminal charges, charges being a spy. He resisted all of this. You can really learn from this personal experience how this guy dug deep and resisted the interrogation when he was without sleep, when they were messing with his head, when he was physically abused, and he still hung in there and refused to be exploited. It was very encouraging story. Another one is by Reverend Wurmbrand, W-U-R-M-B-R-A-N-D, Wurmbrand. Tortured for Christ. Amazing story. And another one that's a very difficult one to find is by Hubble, H-U-B-B-E-L, and it's called POW, Vietnamese Prisoner of War Stories. A whole collection of stories in this one book called POW. And it's like I said, it's a very, very hard book to find. But the stories of overcoming adversity, standing firm, not giving in to the enemy that's trying to exploit you, the tricks that they would use, and the methods and techniques that the prisoners would use to overcome that adversity, to find that place down deep inside, the methods that they use to resist the enemy. Amazing stories. Stories that are still taught today in training our military services. As far as the underground goes, there's a few books that I should be way up there on the list. Mandatory. For the times that we're living in now, one is just a classic. There's several. There's a whole bunch of them. I can give you a whole library, but I'm going to give you the top three that I recommend right now. The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. It's about a family, a Dutch family, who hid Jews and pilots and people from the Allied forces. But they had an underground safe house network, and they hid people right there in their own home. They got busted. They got sent to prison. And Corrie ten Boom, I believe, I'll have to read it again, she's the only survivor of her family. They all got hauled off to concentration camps when they got caught. But great story about faith and triumph and adversity. Another one, there's two books actually by the same guy, Brother Andrew. One's called God's Smuggler. Fascinating story about smuggling Bibles through the underground into places where you go to prison when you get caught doing stuff like that. God's Smuggler. Now, whether you're smuggling Bibles or guns or people, the principles are still the same. Real world accounts. Amazing and encouraging. And the other one is called Secret Believers. What happens when Muslims believe in Christ? Also written by Brother Andrew. And this covers people who live in the underground. They live secretly. They operate secretly and operate, well, underground. Not only the individual actual specific techniques that they use, which also could be useful to Americans one day if Chinese invaded and they wanted people, anybody who's ever owned a gun, everybody who's, I don't know, been in the military, wore a badge, there's a lot of things that they could perceive as a threat. And whether you get caught or not, there's valuable lessons here. First of all, how to not get caught. How to prepare yourself mentally for that type of new lifestyle. And then how to survive if you are captured. Survive being exploited. Amazing stories there. So and we're going to put these links so you can just click right on through them. In the highlights and resources posting for today's show, Episode 16, 14. We're going to put links to take you right through to those books that I mentioned. You don't have to get all six of them. Get, you know, one. I recommend, let's see, what would I recommend first? I would say American in the Gulag is the one that just grabbed me. Tortured for Christ was super powerful. That's a heavy one. And then probably one of the Brother Andrew's books, Secret Believers. What happens when Muslims believe in Christ? That'd probably be the next number three on my list. All these are good, though. But that is that brings this segment and part three of Going Underground to a conclusion. There will be more of this in the future. We'll be continuing on with this. So stay tuned. Radio Free Redoubt and RadioFreeRedoubt.com. The voice of the resistance against all that sets itself against Americanism and our heritage and our values. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You have been listening to The Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.